This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum, the Scandinavian Tobacco Group, Lane Limited, and thecountrysquireonline.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
Good evening.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, dude.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing good. It's been a Monday, which, you know, if the week were full of Mondays,
right,
then we would be looking off for bridges to jump off of regularly. But you know, it's been okay Monday.
Man, so you need a hug. You doing all right?
I might need a little pat on the forehead or something, you know. Things are fine. It's good. We had beautiful weather here in Jackson this week.
Dude,
so,
yeah.
The doors were open at the Squire. The pipe smoke was thick and full and, had a really nice breeze coming through the shop. So, man, it was just fantastic. We had a really good time today. But what's going on with you, man?
Man, I've been fighting off the plague. You know, we've got these
You got the crud again?
You know, we got these two kids, and the youngest one is doing this thing where she'll get all these diseases from school, and then
right,
she will turn them into snot, through which she will wipe all over her like hand and then inject her hand into my mouth.
That's really disgusting.
I hope that was inappropriate and too much information, because I'm just at that point now where it's like, ah.
All right, let's give our listeners a few minutes to go vomit in the bushes. And
right,
then we'll,
right.
Then they can come back and listen to the show.
Yeah. Man, no, this has been a rough one for me. I mean, I don't know what's been going on, but today in particular, this weekend was rough, and then today in particular it hit hard. But
well,
man,
I know, with a house full of kiddos and all that, and especially this time of year, you got a lot of allergies going on.
Dude,
I never get sick. And like, I have been struggling this time of year. I really have had a difficult time this season. So had to take a little break on my pipe smoking for a couple of days just to get my sinuses back in order. But we're in full gear now. And, as everyone knows, we got a tobacco talk tonight. We'll get to that in a minute.
That's
but,
good, man.
I'm excited.
Yeah. You know, that's the frustrating thing about being sick is you can't enjoy your pipe. I mean, some probably do. I just, you know, you got to give the internals a chance to kind of heal up.
No, but even if I do smoke when I'm sick, I can't taste
right, yeah.
You know, the flavors aren't what they're supposed to be, so it's like everything's skewed.
Yeah,
just the whole experience. Yeah, I'm against it. No more colds for anyone.
Well, man, I'm hoping for a great show, man. We've got some fun stuff going on. You know, we mentioned last week we officially announced it on the show, but
man,
we are going to Chicago this year.
I'm
which
so
is,
excited, dude.
Yeah, you know, actually, I was I realized, you know, there's a couple folks out in Chicago that you know, I was just thinking the other day, like, man, when am I going to be out in Chicago? I was like, oh yeah, I know what I'm going to be out in Chicago. I'm going to be out there for the Chicago Pipe Show.
Soon, baby. Yeah.
Man, all right. So this is going to be really great. So if you happen to go to the Chicago Pipe Show, we're definitely going to do some sort of meetup. We're looking forward to doing something of that nature. It's actually been really great to see a couple people tweet in, mention on Facebook.
Yeah.
Also on the YouTube channel, just saying, like, looking forward to meeting you in Chicago. And so we're really looking forward to connecting with you. And, you know, I mentioned it last week, and we will definitely have some sort of, you know, we talked about possibly even doing something like a live broadcast from the actual show or something of that nature. You know, more details to come as we get closer,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But, one way or the other, be sure to stay tuned and we'll have that information to you as it becomes available. Now, right now we are entering into the month of March, which, you
that's
know,
right,
you've already mentioned it's a fun time in terms of diseases and sickness and all that kind of wonderful thing. But we do.
What an uplifting beginning to the show.
Well, but I'll flip it around, man. It's also a time for planting and preparing, right?
That's
this
true.
If you're of the gardening mindset, this would be the time that you're starting to plant your seeds. I know that you've kind of been into your garden.
You know, I dabble. I'm more of a landscaper guy though. So
right.
Not fruits and vegetables, more like I love flowering plants and shrubs and things like that. I kind of get into that's one thing that when I was a kid, Dad and I really did a lot of that together.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's really
yeah.
a lot of fun for me. But are you planting tomatoes? You got all that
kind
of stuff?
Well, you know,
going?
We did it last year, and so we. We've done it for the last couple of years now, I think of it. Actually, I remember coming back to the house one night drunkenly. It's a show when you're like, dude, come back here and check out these tomatoes. You remember that?
Yeah, I think I do.
Kind of.
I think I do. Yeah. Well, yeah, you've got this really cool setup in Belhaven that we live in this historic neighborhood
right.
in Jackson, Mississippi. And so, you know, our yards are really small and the lots are all cut up all weird like they were in 1930. It's just not a suburban type neighborhood, but your house is kind of on this hill and you've got this really cool garden that's like built up, surrounded by picket fences and it's just, I don't know, it's really cool, but you were very proud of it and maybe not particularly coherent that night.
Well, yeah. last year was a rough year because we had the heat, which killed off almost everything.
Yeah, so drought too.
This year we've got it. You know, we put the seeds in the ground this weekend. And as I was doing it, I was actually thinking back to when we did our pipe culture episode on recreation and just how we got so many great feedback from that. And one of the things that was kind of a common thread is that there's a lot of pipe smoking gardeners.
So. Yeah, man, I know when I'm working in the yard, I'm that way. I've recently pulled out my yard pipe again because I've been dabbling back in the yard, just trying to get it geared up for spring. And my yard pipe is a Kamoi, and it's a straight billiard Kamoi. Most people like to work with a bent pipe, but I'm just a straight pipe smoker, you know, in general. Of course, I'm sitting here smoking a curved Dunhill right now, but you know, I prefer straight pipe. And so, man, just been pulling the Kamoi out, and it is so seasoned with that sweet, delicious Orlick Golden Slice. And so, just, you know, you can just smell it. And it's been real pleasant to get back in the yard and bust that thing out.
Yeah. Well, to all of you out there who are farming and gardening and getting your seeds in the ground, if you're puffing your pipe while you're doing it, we definitely salute you. You know, pipe culture in general, last week we did have our pipe culture episode on hipsters.
It was a lot of fun.
I got to tell you, man, that episode rushed to the top of the downloads.
Did it really?
Man, it was a very, very popular topic. And it's great to kind of continually see the discussion going on for that particular one.
And, well, and I think folks that went into it maybe a little skeptical kind of found some enjoyment out of it and some redeeming parts, I think. And you know, as you know, we've mentioned just ad infinitum, you know, we like to, you know, just find these common threads and kind of pull at them a little bit and see where they go. And I think we had a lot of fun.
I thought it was interesting how everybody was so skeptical about how we would approach that. You know, I think it probably came from mostly newer listeners than older listeners. Yeah. I would imagine someone who's been with us for about a year probably kind of can knows what to expect.
I think my man bun is what won them over. Or maybe last week it was a top knot.
I think it's maybe in spite of that one way or the other. But sure. Absolutely. I'm sure it played a part.
People still come in and love us. It's right. It's fantastic. Regardless. That's why we're a podcast first, right?
But. Right, right. Yeah. The YouTube is really the place. We recommend you to check out our YouTube channel, but only if you want to torture yourself to see the actual, you know.
Right.
Craziness.
Yeah, but fall in love with us first and then,
that's good.
And then view us, right?
That's good. Actually, we were doing a Periscope before we even went live tonight. And
that's why I was hiding back in the bathroom.
Yeah, I saw that. That's great. But you'd mentioned somebody mentioned through the Periscope, that's the first time they'd ever seen my face through it without this
filter in front of it.
That's pretty funny. But, man, we got a great topic to talk about tonight, of course. We are reopening our series.
Yeah.
Tobacco Talk.
Tobacco Talk, man, which is always a lot of fun. It kind of gives us an opportunity to bring it back home, go back to the nuts and bolts of pipe smoking while we're here. And, so I picked out a couple interesting blends I thought we'd try tonight. One of which I'm smoking right now. We talk, of course, if you're a longtime listener to the show or a fan of kind of what we do here around the Squire. We love McClelland. McClelland is just one of our regular go-to blends. And, you know, it's tobacco companies. We love the people at McClelland. Like I've mentioned before, you call these folks. They're so kind. And, you know, when you get them on the phone to order tobacco, if you're a retailer like me, the president of the company is literally the person that picks up the phone.
That's so cool.
They're just good people. Yeah. And so, we love them a lot. They make, just a really high quality product. But, got an interesting, McClelland here tonight. We've got their Pebble Cut. Now Pebble Cut. It's an interesting tobacco. When you think of Pebble Cut, Bo, what do you envision when you open this tin?
So I'm thinking of like this Pebbles cereal.
Yeah.
kind of like
Cocoa Puffs or something. Yeah, it's kind of weird. The Pebble Cut is, it's an interesting name for this. They actually, what they did a few years ago, I guess back in, I think it was 2010, McClelland revived a bunch of the old Ashton blends that they used to blend for Ashton. And Pebble Cut was one of those blends. And, so they revived them. There's another one called, Celebrated Sovereign. I think Old Dog is one of those as well, which Old Dog is, of course, a huge seller. We sell tons of that.
Now, when you say they revived,
These are blends that, were kind of a classic line for the Ashton Tobacco Company. They blended for Ashton, McClelland did, and then they were kind of phased out. But by popular demand, they brought them back, and it just revived them. But now McClelland is selling them directly instead of through Ashton.
Great. Yeah.
So, yeah, we those other ones that we mentioned, and then Pebble Cut is one of those. This is a really cool-looking tin. You look at it, and it's got this kind of aquamarine glitter bedazzled kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if cool look. I mean, it's a unique look.
Yeah, no, it's a unique look. It's great until, you know, you try to read the back and something about how the
dark on dark.
The black writing with the glittery bedazzled label almost makes you have a seizure. it's really difficult to read.
Right.
And it's funny, you read online, a lot of reviews are about this tobacco, and everyone's like, man, I really like it, but I don't know what's in it because I can't read the label. Can you read that?
All right.
Well, you can't read anyway.
You know, now hang on now. I got 20/20 vision. Oh, and they've got the kind of the italics going on here.
That's right. I mean, they're like,
nope, not even going to try.
No, there's no. I think I found the word Perique maybe buried in there somewhere.
Yeah, I see Perique, maybe Louisiana Perique.
Yeah, and maybe a couple of other
sliced red
Smurfs.
Does Smurfs, Smurfs? Or something. Right. Like that. Here's the thing, maybe it's McClellan's secret blend. Like they're saying, like, look, the secret ingredients are right here.
They're right there. It actually could be. They could have taken a page out of like J.R.R. Tolkien's thing, right? And made their own language just for this tobacco.
Yeah, interesting choice. You're right, because I mean there is something about the bedazzled look to the tin. I can't believe I just said that word. That does make it stand out. And even just the actual, you know, the logo to it as well, with the big bold pebble cut that's right there on the front.
Yeah,
premium pipe tobacco blend on either side. I mean, layout great, and you know, it does catch your attention.
Yeah,
not necessarily my favorite overall wrapping paper.
Well,
you just don't
strike me as the bedazzled kind of person.
No, it's right. Definitely more of your alley.
Thank you so much. It's so
you
kind
and your
of
top
you.
Knot.
Oh, look at that. Moving right along. This is Pebble Cut from McClelland, and
busted open, man.
It's great. Let me describe it first, and then we'll let you smell it. So I've been smoking it today. It's a delicious tobacco, and actually, someone gave me this tin because it was a little too strong for them, and I thought that was interesting because it is a medium to full bodied smoke, I would say, but it's one of those that the strength isn't overpowering. I don't think it's particularly
strength of the
strong,
vitamin N or just the taste?
The vitamin N.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The taste, I think, is typical kind of Virginia, maybe a little Perique, but the emphasis is really on the Virginias here. So you've got, what McClelland describes it as is a Carolina and Virginia blend. It's got Orientals and Perique, but it's good because the Orientals are kind of in the background on this. You know, I love these nuances in pipe tobacco. We, you know, try to do this a lot at the Squire where, you know, one of our blends will feature a leaf, but then there will be this other leaf kind of sneaking up behind that just kind of provides a supporting role, you know, and the Orientals are definitely in that supporting role here. But as a, you know, tobacco, I think it accomplishes just a lot of nuance really well. So here, let me let you smell that. Give that a shot.
Well, I got to make mention.
Right.
So two things. One is not pebbled.
It is
definitely
not,
not actually.
You open the can and there are no cocoa pebbles.
Right. you know, it's almost, a trope at this point when you bust open a tin of McClelland, you get that, you know,
it's the
ketchup.
What do you expect?
You
it's
know,
like,
it's,
yeah, vinegar, baby. That's what it is. So,
the weird thing is typically, at least in my experience, when I bust open a tin of McClelland, you get that first.
Right.
On this, you get it on the back end.
Okay. I could see that.
You get more kind of a darker, smoky.
Yeah. There's a lot of those medium to darker Virginias that are in there. I think that gives it kind of a rich flavor, which is really nice. And, of course, like you mentioned, this is a ready rub tobacco. So, you know, anything from McClelland, I'm pretty sure McClelland does not do any true pure flake. They take all their flakes and then then break them apart.
Yeah.
So you know how our friends at, you know, some of the other tobacco companies, you buy it and it's a sheet flake and a little square tin, and McClelland doesn't really do that. They're big on breaking their flakes apart. And one thing that allows you to do is just kind of get to the tobacco easier, as far as, you know, it's kind of ready for your pipe already, you know, if you're into that.
It's ready rub.
It's ready rub. Medium to full bodied. The, you know, strength is, you know, relatively full. I don't think it's overpowering. It's certainly not just a Perique bomb or anything like that. So it's not something that'll knock you out. But, the Orientals are there, but I think they're way in the background. So if you're a Virginia smoker, and you just like a real clean, rich Virginia blend, something that focuses more on some of the darker leaves, I think you'll enjoy this a lot. Real easy to keep lit. Just a real nice clean flavor.
It seems very different from, again, anything that I've picked up from, or, you know, McClellan in the past, but you're so good at defining the flavors. You know, you're like, you know, there's a hint of oatmeal in it or something like that. But like, what is that?
This tastes like Noxzema or whatever.
What is that darker smoke? Like almost like a charred.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Or might it sound like a crazy person?
Well, you are crazy.
Okay.
Well. Insane, actually. But, that you pick up a lot of these different, flavors in here. Of course, this does have some orientals in there. So you'll have kind of a woody aspect
maybe
to it.
Maybe that's what I'm picking up.
Well, but then also, you know, of course, this doesn't have a smoked element to it like a, you know, dark fire burley or a Latakia. But what it does have, is some darker Virginias. And if I'm correct, I think they actually put some stoved Virginia in here,
okay.
Which is basically it's cooking Virginias on essentially a stove. They put it on the sheet that gets real hot, and the leaves almost caramelize as far as their characteristics go. So, don't think caramel, think caramelize. So like a caramelized onion or something is, you know, just kind of starts to cook in its own sugars and gets real rich and, you know, kind of, it just changes the characteristics of it quite a bit.
All right, fair enough.
McClellan uses a lot of that in their blends. And of course, you know, personally, I just don't think any company nails Virginias better than our friends there.
Right on, man.
Yep.
That's good, a great blend. So Pebble Cut.
Pebble Cut from our friends at McClellan. It's an Ashton Revival Series tobacco. Next, we have from actual Ashton the Ashton Winding Road. This is interesting. A lot of folks, you know, Ashton, a lot of folks don't give Ashton and Peterson tobaccos a lot of props, I think. And maybe some of that's deserved, but like they've got some really good blends, that, you know, are part of that family. Of course, Ashton USA, which does Ashton cigars, and they also, distribute, San Cristobal and, La Roma de Cuba and some other cigar brands, but they are the American distributors for Peterson. Okay.
Right.
So whenever you're getting a Peterson pipe and you're in America, you're getting that pipe through the Ashton company.
Right,
okay?
Right, right.
Does that make sense? So
I think that was the first thing I ever learned about the tobacco industry when we were starting out.
Yeah. We had a, you know, really awesome Peterson trunk show here.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
You know, I remember you got
we
to interact
from
with
Ashton.
Some the Ashton reps,
right,
and they're
right.
They're also the Peterson reps. So, anyway, the Peterson and Ashton tobaccos, of course, are sold. If you're listening, you can, you know, imagine just one of the kind of gold, colored flat tins that kind of the coin, I always call them like a coin tin.
Yeah, kind of a classic look.
Yeah, classic look. And so it's one of those, it's got, the Ashton and Peterson tobaccos are packaged almost identically. The Ashton tobaccos have kind of just a real clean, matte finish on their labels, and it just looks real, real nice. This is Winding Road, and it says a mellow mixture designed to bridge the gap between aromatic and English style blends, comprised of golden and dark brown Virginia with the sprinkling of black Cavendish. This excellent blend bears a natural fragrance accompanied by subtle notes of caramel and apricot. So, there's a lot going on with this.
It sounds like a very different gear change from
kind of a different gear. But I'm gonna let you smell it and give me your first impressions here. Of course, this has been smoked a little bit, so gotta.
All right, we got a basket of fruit right here.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
You can really pick up on those apricots, especially.
Well, and what's fascinating, so, you know, the way they're describing this is a mellow mixture designed to bridge the gap between aromatic and English style blends. All right, so when you hear that, you would think, okay, well, if this is a, you know, I always like to call them a hybrid blend, something that is in between the two. And typically when I think of hybrid blends, or other people might call them like an English aromatic. And what,
really?
A lot of times, well, hold your horses, because a lot of times what that means is that it's got aromatic, maybe case tobaccos, but then also, there's a noticeable note of Latakia in there as well.
Okay, sure.
And so with this tobacco, even though they're saying on here it's between aromatic and English style, there is no hint of Latakia in this tobacco at all. So I think what they're saying between English style and aromatic is just like, this is it's a slightly cased or maybe topped tobacco that's got, just a real natural flavor to it. So if you're a non-aromatic smoker, maybe that enjoys English style blends, you'll just pick up a lot of, Just a lot of natural flavor here that will probably be pleasing to you. The apricots and some of the fruit is forward, but it's certainly not overwhelming at all. And I really enjoy the smoke. It's a good, it is, you know, one of those good kind of gateway blends, maybe to pushing you more towards a non-aromatic tobacco. If what you're used to is just nothing but aromatic.
It does seem kind of wild, man, because the tin note is very fruity.
It is. Yeah, it really is.
This is to the untrained nose, they might pick up a lot of raisins.
You know how we love those raisin-flavored tobaccos here at the Country Squire.
No, man, I was so proud of myself when I smelled it. I was like, I don't even smell raisins.
I don't even smell raisins.
Then afterwards, I thought, man, I smell some raisins.
Have we mentioned that enough? Do people know the running joke of this? Like, people come in, and I pull one of the tins, the jars down here behind me, and, you know, if it's not a regular pipe smoker that really understands this, they just all smell like raisins. And it's like, there is no raisin-flavored tobacco.
No, but there's an element.
I'm gonna take Hunting Creek here behind us and rename it, you know, California raisins.
No, look.
And people be like, oh, it's amazing.
There is a dried fruit element that people are more familiar with because they
would like plum or something. But
well,
like,
sure. I mean, they haven't had dried plums before. And well, so the closest thing they've had is raisins. And so it not everyone has your palate, John David.
No, I'm just saying, like, that we don't have a raisin flavored tobacco.
No,
okay, I'm going to
no.
change subject. I'm going to move on here. But this is the Winding Road is a ribbon cut tobacco. Of course, you look at it, it's a lot of light colored leaves with some of the darker leaves, which are probably Black Cavendish that have been flavored with some of the apricot and things like that. But real easy to keep lit. One thing I like about this tobacco, a lot of the Peterson tobaccos are a little dry when you open the can, the tin, but the Winding Road, man, it's just got a real nice moisture content. And I was able to really enjoy this just right out of the gate. With this. So some people might actually want to let it dry a little bit before they smoke it, but I was actually able to enjoy this right out of the gate. It's got a real pleasant room note. Not one of those that's like sweet that, I mean, you're going to smell this and not think like, oh, fruit bowl or anything like that.
Right.
It's going to be like, you know, just a nice, pleasant tobacco flavor. You know, it's mild to medium body blend. So, I was really liking this. If you want to try, you know, just a real easy to find tobacco that I think would be a, good everyday kind of smoke, the Winding Road from Ashton is a good fit.
It's really nice. You mentioned kind of the classic look and style of the overall tin. And, as I'm looking at the imagery underneath the wording here and kind of the green area, you got a guy walking down a winding road and, holding a fishing pole and three fish that he has caught. So.
So we know that's not you.
Nope. But really cool. I wanted to ask you too. I mean, Ashton, you know, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, the crown is pretty standard.
Yeah. That's,
but is the pipe standard?
Talk, on
of course,
the bottom,
about the design of the,
I think maybe on their tins it is, but that's not a part of the typical Ashton logo.
Okay.
Yeah. If you buy an Ashton cigar, which again, you know, I know some of our listeners are into cigars as well as pipe tobacco. I smoke both. I'm certainly a pipe guy, but, you know, I smoke plenty of cigars, and Ashton is just one of the premier names in the cigar world. We have carried, VSGs and Ashton cabinets, and of course the classic and Maduro lines, for years here at the Squire. And they're just top notch. I mean, you're always going to get a consistent, premium smoke out of an Ashton cigar. So that crown is kind of their hallmark. And, you know, if you're a cigar guy, you'll immediately recognize it.
Right. Right on.
Yep.
Well, hey, if you're listening live right now and you've tried either of these tobaccos, you want to put in your 2 cents, go on our Twitter, tweet in. We'll share some of those during listener feedback.
Yeah. And if you're in the neighborhood of the Squire, anytime in the next week, we'll have these, here at the shop available for you.
Hey.
So swing on by and, have a bowl on us.
Get a little free sample, man.
Yep, that's it.
Yay. Look, it's good to get a little free sample. It's also good to get a big free sample when
you're able to.
Like, packing up a large bowl, maybe even a MacArthur style bowl.
Man, and that's like a big bowl.
Look, for the last 10, this will make 10 episodes that we've had Missouri Meerschaum as a sponsor.
Yeah,
and we've gone through a lot of different, talked about a lot of different pipe shapes and a lot of different custom looks they've got. Man, today we're talking about the MacArthur as the sponsored pipe for this episode.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know, what's wrong with you? I shouldn't say that. No, we've actually, back in the day, we actually did an episode on General MacArthur and his corncob pipe, his legendary, iconic even, corncob pipe.
That's right.
How would you define this pipe?
Large enough to be a boat anchor.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
so it's just a big pipe. Yeah.
It is a corncob.
Yeah. So you think about, you know, if you're not you know, if you're listening, you can kind of visualize a full cob essentially. And, you know, typically on these, Missouri Meerschaum corn cob or MacArthur's, they'll have the shank kind of entering into the bowl about midway.
About midway.
And the bowl is, you know, essentially half, if not maybe a little more of the cob. It's a huge, very generous bowl. And it's talk about something that's going to make a statement. Like General MacArthur, of course, was, you know, one of the, you know, the most pivotal leaders of the, you know, World War II kind of, resistance in the, you know, Pacific theater. And like, man, he was just all about ego. And like, what better way to, you know, highlight your ego than just a sweet big old corncob pipe? And man, he rocked it. And you can do that today also.
Yeah. In fact, actually, if you've got him a General MacArthur, if you've got a MacArthur pipe from Missouri Meerschaum, man, rock it this week. Take a picture, send that picture in. If you don't have one, it's one that you're going to want to add to your collection.
You need to put it in your collection.
It's an iconic pipe. Yeah. I mean, it is. You know, we talk about corn cob pipes, and there's kind of what you think of in the corn cob pipes. I'm talking about a pipe that's actually a freaking corn cob.
Right. You're like, it's a cob. Yeah.
It's the whole thing. So check it out. Of course, you can find that from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. We'll have a picture of it up as part of the show notes for this episode. And like I said, take selfies of it, send them in through the Twitter. We'll retweet those out this week.
Absolutely.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by Orlick Dark Strong Kentucky.
Man, that stuff is so good.
Yes, sir.
Robust flavor. You've got the, obviously the dark fired Kentucky burley in there that gives it a nice, smokiness and strength, but, it's paired real nicely with the, Virginias that just make it a nice sweet tobacco and, something that you'll want to turn to quite often.
You know, one of the things I love about our friends at STG sponsoring the show is that, you know, this week was tobacco talk, but you know, I feel like every week has like a little miniature tobacco talk talking about some of these different blends they've got. And, Orlick Dark Strong Kentucky, what a great blend. And, you know, it's interesting. We'd like talking about some little factoids and some little things that, we'd like to kind of share out there. There is kind of a uniqueness to the DSK in terms of just kind of the look when you first crack and open that tin. A distinct look. And so you want to make sure if you've got some, take your tin of DSK this week.
Yeah.
How about take a selfie with your DSK? Can we take selfies with pipe tobacco?
Of course you can. I do it regularly.
We should do that.
Probably part of the reason that people think I need to be committed.
Now that I think about it, there is a funny selfie of you holding up tobacco like it's like this precious prize thing. You know what I'm talking about?
My precious. I know exactly. Right. It's good.
Well, get your precious Dark Strong Kentucky this week. Take a selfie with it and smoke it. Let us know what you think. We love getting your feedback as well. All right, man. Pipe question written in from Jay, who asks, if I buy a tin and don't open it, will the tobacco still age as if I did open it? Put it in a glass jar and then in my cellar? Or is it necessary to break the seal first?
What an interesting question. You know, this is interesting. I've never really thought about this, but, you know, obviously someone that, you know, maybe hasn't aged a lot of tobacco in the past. And Jay, thanks for writing this in. This is great. Like, you know, I want to cellar tobacco. I want to get into aging tobacco, but, you know, do I just buy the can and just stick it on a shelf somewhere, or do I actually have to do something to it to kind of help the process? And, what a great question. I think in most cases, the packaging that it comes in is just fine. Just think about, you know, it's already kind of in there as you would like it. So just continue to keep it how it is, put it on the shelf. You know, I'm real OCD, so I want to put like a, you know, the date that I bought it on there just so I kind of know how old it is. And then just, you know, take that tin of tobacco and just put it back somewhere. You know, we talk about cellaring our tobacco and everyone's like, oh, my cellar has this and my cellar has that. My cellar is a cardboard top of a banker's box, like surrounded. I think it's right next to maybe the dog food or something. I don't know, but like,
no,
it's just,
no,
you know, like, right. No, but I mean, it's just all like, you know, I mean, it's just, it's not like some fancy thing that I open up the basement and then walk down into my mahogany, you know, lined staircase.
Yeah. To be fair, that's your quote unquote home cellar. Your actual cellar is standing right behind.
Okay.
This.
Well, yeah.
Everybody has an actual tobacco shop.
I do have an advantage of being a tobacconist. But,
exactly.
Yeah. What do I feel like having today? Oh, I'll just have this fleur-de-lis that I just mixed up 2 minutes ago.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So yeah, but you know, typically in most cases, I think, you know, buy your tin of tobacco, put it back. Now, a couple things I'll mention on this. If you buy a private blend from a shop like the Country Squire, you'll want to take that blend, and if your goal is cellaring it, take it out of the bag and put it in its own jar. Okay. It's not, you know, the bag is going to, you know, it's a nice bag that we ship our tobaccos out in, and other tobacconists do too, but you'll want to take it out of the bag, put it in its own mason jar or some type of jar like that, and try to get a jar that's as close to the volume of tobacco as you can. So if you got a 2 ounce bag of tobacco, try to find the right style jar that's about the same volume. Keep in mind, you don't want to take, a lot of folks are like, oh, I'll just take all these little bags that I ordered and put them in one big jar. Don't do that, because then all your, you know, tobaccos will start to bleed into each other. Needs its own jar.
Yeah.
The one exception on cellaring tins that I'll say, as beautiful and as convenient as some of these coin style tins are,
The metal style.
The metal style, yeah. Coin tins that, are kind of a flat gold color with a nice label on it. A lot of these tins are notorious for just over time unsealing. And so, you know, you might find a tin that's been unsealed. You even open them up and they've rusted inside.
It's a different sealing process for these where they've kind of been bent in, as opposed to the ones that actually have more of the plastic tops.
Plastic top. And there's actually like a tab that you pull, you know, it's really airtight. Yeah. So, and of course these are airtight, you know, too, for the most part, but they're just worse about resealing. So if it's a tobacco that you want to keep for a long time and you're really intent on cellaring it, you know, for, you know, at least a year, more than that, on tins like that have the coin style tin, I would take it out of the tin and put it in a jar. I would do that. I've seen some people just sorely disappointed, because they, you know, cellared a tin like that, opened it up 2-3 years later, and, man, it had already, kind of busted at the seam, and, you know, it's even rust on the inside or mold or just weird stuff like that. Kind of an option there. Tobaccos that come in a tin like this are not inferior tobacco. Some of the best tobaccos on earth, you know, come in a tin like that. But just for whatever reason, I find it, you know, more reassuring to put it in a jar once you get it. So I think that would be my only, kind of caveat to all this. The exception to the rule. But, you know, on a McClelland or a Cornell and Deal or, a tin that kind of has that just a taller plastic top with a pull tab, man, you're good to go. Just stick it on the shelf and let her ride.
Well, great question, Jay. You know, Jay actually sent in a couple of different pipe questions.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, well, we could do it all in one, or we'll spread them out a bit. So he's got some great questions that we'll be peppering through the coming episodes. But yeah, man, excellent question. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in, csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, man, quick fire questions.
Bring it.
All right, so Steve, this is his final round of questions that he sent us.
Okay.
This is the theme this week is about wonders of the world. And I'm going
to
let you.
This is good. Yeah, you want me to tackle it tonight?
Yeah. Okay.
Wonders of the world from Steve in Madison, Wisconsin. All right, you ready? Pyramids of Giza or Chichen Itza?
So do you know what the Chichen Itza is?
I have seen pictures of Chichen Itza before.
It's like the square pyramid.
Yeah. I believe it's either Central America or Mexico, if I'm not mistaken.
It's that style of pyramid.
Right, right.
You know, I've always wanted to see the pyramids.
Okay.
And so I'm going to have to go with those.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I'd probably go with the Giza pyramids, but I'd like to see both.
You know, my grandmother actually was in...
did she help build the Giza pyramid?
Right. No. She did archaeological digs back in the day. And so she's actually...
Wow, that's really cool.
Egypt. I know.
Yeah.
She had kind of a crazy Indiana Jones style life for a little while.
Yeah.
So it's really bizarre to hear that from like your grandmother. It's like, you did that crazy. But anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, pyramids.
Okay. Machu Picchu or Stonehenge?
Stonehenge. Absolutely Stonehenge.
Yeah. It's really iconic. I've actually been to Machu Picchu before.
Have you really?
It was really cool. In college, I went on a mission trip, with this ministry called RUF I was a part of. And, we went to South America and actually got the chance to go to Machu Picchu. I think before I would have gone there, I would have said Stonehenge before Machu Picchu.
Sure.
But seeing Machu Picchu in person, this is a, you know, ruin of a civilization and this ruin on top of this gigantic mountain. And when I say ruin, I'm talking like, I mean, it was a city. I mean,
this was a,
you know, the epicenter of a civilization, and it went undiscovered. If I'm remembering correctly, it went undiscovered for several centuries. And then just some, I can't remember if it was an American guy or British guy, but he was kind of going through the woods up in these mountains up there and just stumbled across some stone. And,
that's crazy.
You know, as he started digging, like just rediscovered this gigantic, you know, epicenter of, you know, Incan civilization. It's really amazing. But, yeah, I'm going to have to go with Machu Picchu.
All right. Fair enough.
Nazca lines or the Taj Mahal?
Ooh,
that's a good one.
That is a good one. Probably the Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going for the classic. I feel like I'm going for the classic picks here.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'd probably have to say the Taj Mahal. I think something about the Nazca lines are interesting to me as if like, you know, because they're so epic on a scale size, you almost, it is one of those things that make you wonder, like, did humans have help doing that?
Right,
like,
right,
were,
right.
Like, did were there little green men that came and pitched in on that one?
Aliens.
I'm just, right. I think I'm going to have to go with Taj Mahal. All right,
yeah.
Roman Colosseum or Petra?
So I actually did get a chance to see the Colosseum when we went to Italy.
Yeah.
However, I was never, but one thing that we never got a chance to do is actually go through the tours on the inside of the Colosseum.
Yeah.
And so I still have that on my bucket list is to actually go inside the Colosseum.
To actually, yeah.
So yeah, that's a definite.
I'm actually not sure what Petra is. I don't know what Petra is. So I'm going to go with the Roman Colosseum.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Colosseum. Next one, the Great Wall of China or Christ the Redeemer? And I'm assuming Christ the Redeemer, refers to a church.
Isn't that the statue in Argentina?
Oh, I bet that's it. Yeah.
I think that's right.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, I bet that's it. So the big statue in, is it Argentina or Brazil?
Brazil.
Yeah.
It's Brazil.
It's in, one of the big cities down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As soon as I said Argentina, our live studio audience started looking at their phones like, that's not right.
Right, maybe it is, but I'm not exactly sure. I know it's in South America.
Right.
So which one, though? Great Wall or Christ the Redeemer?
You know, I don't know why, but I kind of want to like run along the Great Wall. Like, I know I can't, like, run the entire
I would rather go lunting on the Grape Wall. The Grape Wall. Did you hear that? The Grape Wall. Which
right.
is, lunting, of course, is, the.
I was thinking lunging.
The act of smoking your pipe while, strolling.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing. That's a thing.
Yeah, that sounds
awesome. I would prefer to go lunting along the Great Wall.
Very good.
I don't know. The Great Wall, man, it's like, it's ancient, like so old. I think I'd have to go that route.
Man, these are some good questions.
Yeah, these are great. I kind of feel like booking some tickets now.
you know, we're going on the road to Chicago. Maybe we should take it around to some of these wonders of the world.
I'm just trying to say, like, you know, on the way, there's like, you know, in St. Louis, you got the arch, you know, in St. Louis, and then, you know, somewhere.
I don't know if that qualifies as a wonder of the world, but yeah.
You know, it's impressive though. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, it's better than in Jackson. We've got, you know, like LaFleur's Bluff State Park.
Hey.
Know, so
we've got the Washington Monument that's secretly just covering up a giant cell phone tower.
I know. That is true. It's so original.
Yeah. Oh man. So these were such
questions,
great questions,
yeah.
Steve. And hey, you know, this was the last of the bunch. So if you've got some quick fire questions, go ahead and send them over csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Loving some of these tweets, you know, some folks that want to obviously hang out in Chicago. We've got confirmation that the Christ the Redeemer is in Brazil.
My bad.
And let's see, the Petra, if you'll give me a minute, looks like a ruin.
It's a Christian rock praise band back in the 90s.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. And of course, Hoctor the Love Doctor says that, Ewan Reese is a wonder of the world. And it, of course, is one of the, oldest tobacconists in the United States in Chicago.
Wow.
So,
that
could be part of it too. Yeah.
Some good product placement. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Lunting, absolutely.
What is, that. What's Beardcore putting out there on the
yeah,
tweet?
Petra is in Jordan.
Oh, is that the place where the Holy Grail was, right? That was a Holy Grail from Indiana Jones. Okay, gotcha.
I'm sure we're offending some historian out there, but
I'm sure we're offending all historians.
No,
out there.
Probably you're right. I just know Petra was the place in Jackson we had a while back that you could go smoke your hookah in while eating, like, you know, eating the little leaf dolma things.
And what did you find, John David? Now, if John David had any knowledge of Indiana Jones, he would respond with illumination. But he doesn't, so.
But I didn't.
I'll do it for you.
But I know I ate some hummus at Petra one time.
Man, we got some great listener feedback in also this week on YouTube. Man, go ahead and read what Pastor Pipes had to say.
I'm not cultured at all. I'm sorry, but Pastor Pipes on YouTube, he says, oh, wow, holy smokes. Bo, you did it. You didn't mention the dark side or anything in relation to it. Well done. I think you need to win a prize. JD, can you please reward him with making his desired SW blend?
Star Wars.
Star Wars blend now. You know what, Pastor Pipes? I think that may be a go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well done.
All right.
Congratulations, Bo.
Hey, man. It was tough.
Hey, that was difficult.
I made it. We got the next one up is an iTunes review comes in from Joe, who says, love this. Just discovered the podcast from a YouTube video. The whiskey pairing episode, to be precise. Lots of good information on that one. And now, good excuse to pick up some new tobaccos and whiskeys. Can't wait to check out the rest of the shows. Thanks. Man, Joe, thank you so much for that that feedback. Hope that you have listened to some of the other shows and have even caught up right now. So that's awesome.
Absolutely. Always good excuses to pick up new tobaccos and whiskeys.
Man, happy
last one we've got comes from Richard Eunice, and he says, JD and the gang at Country Squire, I feel compelled to send you a note to tell you that I am really enjoying your fine tobaccos. As a new customer, found out about you from JD's interview with Brian Levine on the Pipes Magazine radio show.
Yay!
Which is awesome. So he says, so far, I have tried Rivendell, Parsons Blend, Cherokee, Chesapeake, Second Breakfast, Seersucker, and Hunting Creek. None of these are raisin blends, actually, just to remind you all. They are all fantastic, smooth, mellow, and flavorful. It's hard to pick my favorite, probably Rivendell, because I like the nuttiness of the blend. That is until I tried Hunting Creek over the weekend. Wow, what an exquisite blend. I prefer aromatics over Virginia's and English blends, but Hunting Creek hits the mark for me. I'm not a huge light of Kia fan, but this blend was just the right amount to give it some flavor in the background. It's a really nice, complex bowl. Well done. I was stunned when I fired up a bowl. I'll be a lifelong customer. Really enjoyed Country Squire Radio 2. By the way, JD, enjoy the tip on bringing dried out tobacco back to life. My Orlick Golden Slice was saved by the orange peel. Awesome tip. Also, I can't say enough about Near Up Pipes. We love Near Up Pipes. A lot of pipe for the money. I'm planning a trip down to Austin, Texas in May. Maybe I'll swing by the Squire on my way. All the best, Rich Eunice.
Man.
Awesome, dude. Thanks for that, man, real generous feedback on our tobaccos and everything. We're glad you're enjoying the podcast. And, dude, we've got a lot of friends in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, I was about to say, when you get down
there, when you get down there, be sure to link up with our, you know, our friends there. Man, just got a real vibrant pipe scene in Austin. So, man, that's great. Thanks for your feedback, brother.
Absolutely. Look, we love getting this feedback from you. Emails, comments, tweets, all that great stuff. You know, we've already mentioned several live tweets that we've gotten in through the show. And, of course, we love for those of you who are able to tune in live to tune in live. You, of course, can watch at CountrySquireRadio.com. It occurs every single Monday night at 6:30 Central. That's 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. And, again, you can find that at CountrySquireRadio.com. And you can tweet into the show. You can tweet us at Squire Radio or tweet us personally. You can follow me at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Don't forget to also buy your tickets to Chicago.
Man, that's right.
Because we will be there.
It's coming up, baby.
Yeah. So do that. Here's what you got to do. Right now, you're going to buy your tickets to Chicago. If you haven't gotten a chance to write us a review on iTunes, go write us a review on iTunes. If you're listening on an Android device, we encourage you to check us out through Satchel. If you're enjoying the podcast on Satchel, you can even send us a few dollars to show your love, support, and help us keep the lights on.
Ow!
It's always a nice thing. Man, so thank y'all so much for tuning in. Man, John David, tobacco talk.
It was good. It felt right, man. It just felt right.
I always like
springtime, man, or almost, you know.
We try to do a tobacco talk every about 6 or 7 episodes just because, you know, when you come to a pipe podcast about pipes and pipe tobacco, you expect for some tobacco talk.
Absolutely.
And, it's one that we love going to. Next week in particular, we'll be doing a Squire Select.
Oh, man, I always look forward to those for a variety of reasons.
Well, you know, it's funny because I feel like maybe this is about the fourth time we've done this. It might have been fifth time in a row where we've done kind of a back-to-back where we do tobacco talk followed directly right after Squire Select, and I think they go so well. So.
Our listeners get a lot out of it, but we really
love it. that's the best part. All right, man. Well, hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
All right.
Did I mention one time that we had a MacArthur pipe here in the shop not too long ago, and I was digging around the shop. Of course, you know, our shop has been here since 1970.
Wait, was this like part of the archives or was this for sale?
No, it was for sale. Okay. This was not too long ago, but, yeah, we, you know, so I was digging around the shop and, we had a MacArthur for sale, but I found a ebonite or vulcanite, Nording church warden stem. So think about like a, it was okay. probably a 10 inch, you know, church warden stem, an ebonite stem from Nording. And if, you know, for some reason in an old pipe shop like this, you just find random stuff there. Maybe the bowl was broken like 30 years ago. I mean, there's no telling where the stem came from, but I just happened to, as I was holding this stem, just happened to be walking across the case that had the MacArthur pipe.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I wonder.
No, you didn't.
And I took the Missouri Meerschaum, stem off the MacArthur,
uh-huh.
and the Nording churchwarden stem fit perfectly.
Dude!
And so you had, like, you went from already an epic pipe, that
right.
was this, you know, MacArthur style, corncob pipe, and then add about 9 or 10 inches to it.
MacArthur the Gray.
Yeah, exactly, right? I felt like it was like, it was, you know, it just belonged in Middle Earth. It was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really great. Yeah, if you have a churchwarden pipe lying around, and just want to get a little experimental,
a little crazy.
Get you one of those MacArthur pipes and just see if it fits. It'll be worth your while. I promise.
That's awesome.